Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth, the thoughts of all our hearts, be now and always acceptable in your sight through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So I was contemplating Jesus' words about being born again. I was talking to a soon-to-be mum, so it's probably quite good that Rachel is no longer here. We exchanged all the usual horror stories that she'd been told about, you know, you won't sleep for 5 or 10 years. She discovered, I don't know how they work it out, apparently the cost of having a child these days is about £218,000. That's from birth until the point when they leave home. How have we done it? I don't know. And I remembered our own experience, and of course, at any stage in the process of a life coming into the world, you believe that these children are incredibly vulnerable, fragile, and precious, and must be treated incredibly carefully. And then you meet the professionals. Our first child was sucked out with the plunger, the sort of plunger that you use to unblock toilets. And he came out with a bit of his head sticking up in a sort of round shape that molded, was molded by this plunger. As soon as he was out, he was then slapped by the midwife, and then a needle was stuck into him. And he was generally thrown about as if they really didn't have any worries or cares. And I'm thinking, hang on, this is a fragile, delicate baby. How could you treat him like this? Being born is not a comfortable process, but any discomfort is essential for that new life. And sometimes we're surprised by the level of trauma or violence around it. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. In talking to Nicodemus, Jesus was also very down to earth and very practical about his questions of faith and how we must be born again. And he was nothing like as soft and romantic as we might like the whole process to be. In all this talk about the wind, there's a warning for us all, particularly since I think this is the first weekend in over a month where we haven't had a storm coming over, where there's no prospect of wind damage. As Nicodemus found out, being born again, being born from above, may not be a nice, quiet experience with God. It might actually be quite difficult and involve quite a lot of movement. Wind, as you may know, is one of the most common images of the Holy Spirit throughout the Bible. The Spirit is there at the beginning of creation, moving over the face of the waters. At Pentecost, a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. Occasionally, we hear the phrase, the wind of change. As Jesus said, the wind blows, it moves, and it carries things along with it, bringing change. And we've seen the landscape rearranged a bit around us over the last few weeks of storms. Abraham was told by God, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go. The Spirit blew into Abraham's life and moved him on to a new place towards the promised land, far away and with many struggles to come. William Booth, I discovered a quote from him last week, you can't change the future without disturbing the present. Abraham was expected to abandon every single known point of reference in his life, his certainty, every certainty he had, his land, his friends, his ancestral ties. He had to abandon everything in order to know God and receive his blessing. The call was to be blown from security and prosperity into uncertainty and risk. Many beautiful and dramatic landscapes have been shaped by wind erosion, by the air blown over it. Abraham was not yet the man God wanted him to be. He needed to be honed down, to be molded, and he had many trials and tests ahead of him. For all of us, it can and should feel at times as though the wind of the Spirit blows across us to mold and shape us as God determines. It can be an uncomfortable experience to fill the gaps that shouldn't be there and round off hard edges. I had a great joy a few years ago of going to Tunisia and then down into the Sahara Desert. And my wife and I, in our kind of brief walk for a short distance into the desert, were really struck by the beauty. But of course, that beauty is entirely manufactured by the wind. Without the wind, there would just be a flat expanse of sand and nothingness. The beautiful shapes of the sand dunes are there because of the wind blowing over it. And we too are made more beautiful and given depth and shape as the Holy Spirit blows in and through our lives. But we have to be open to that change. It's not always a gentle, cooling, wafting breeze. As I said, the last four weekends, as I can remember them, have all been disrupted not just by rain, but also some very, very strong winds. I've been at sea in a storm which has made life exhilarating and really exciting for a bit. But after a while, you start to think you've had enough. Can we go back to the calm now? We've had this exciting few hours. And I guess, like all of us, we want God to be present in our lives. Perhaps, though, we don't want him to be ever present. That would be too much of a disruption for our own plans. Please, Lord, come and help me through this particular patch, make this bit exciting, but then I want to go back to calm normality, my way, with my plans. Jesus said we have to be born again, and new birth is not the end of what God has in plan for us, but the very beginning. And the molding goes on for the rest of our lives. I have no idea how they measure it, but apparently there's as much energy generated by one good hurricane in 24 hours as the whole of Europe needs in 1 year. It's astonishing. In 24 hours, all the energy to power Europe for a year in a hurricane. That is a massive amount of energy. Wind is phenomenally powerful. The Holy Spirit blows into our lives and molds us into the image of God. We will change. We will become different. I'm always struck by Mary's words when Gabriel comes to her and Gabriel's words, nothing is impossible for God. And we always read that as if God could do anything. But actually, I think nothing is impossible for God should be read, nothing, doing nothing, is impossible for God. Where there is God, something always happens. God can't do nothing. So if the Spirit blows through the church, it will change. We will be made different. Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. When Jesus sent the disciples back into Jerusalem after his ascension, he told them to wait in the city until the power from on high had come upon them. Don't set sail on this journey that God has directed you until there's a fair wind behind you, within you. I love the fact that Nicodemus came and he said to Jesus, we know. He came with that confidence. We've got the truth. We know how things are supposed to work. He and his colleagues had kind of got it all sorted. And that was their problem. They thought they had managed it all, or they could manage it all, by themselves. But again, God warns us through the prophets, woe to those who carry out plans that are not mine, forming an alliance but not by my Spirit. The Pharisees used legalism and logic and tradition to make everything neat and tidy, to have this lovely, predictable, sensible world where we knew what was going on. They read, studied, debated, did everything except wind down the window and let some fresh air blow through to wake them up to what God was really doing. God said to Abraham, I will bless you, and you will be a blessing. The Spirit moving in his life was for his sake, but also for the sake of those around him. For me to be who I need to be, I need you to be who you should be. The Spirit blowing through our lives might make things uncomfortable for a while, but it is for our good, to change us into the people God wants us to be. And it's good for the whole world, to give us the power to change the landscape around us into a more beautiful one. Jesus told his disciples to wait until they could leave Jerusalem with this power, and they then changed the world. For Nicodemus, it seemed to work by gentle erosion. It took a while for him to come round, but there he was at the death, at the end, taking care of the body of Jesus. God sent his Holy Spirit to help and empower his people. As far as Jesus was concerned, there is no other kind of Christian than the one who has been born again. You should not be surprised at his saying this. One of the impressions I've gleaned over the years of my ministry is that we're all up for change, and you're about to go through a dramatic change with a new team rector. The ad has gone out. I haven't been mobbed with inquiries so far, but Anglican clergy always leave it to the last minute. I have one inquiry from the United States at the moment, so I'm having a chat with him tomorrow. No idea whether that would be good or not. But we're all up for change, except as long as we don't have to change. And it happens in all aspects of our lives. It's not just in the church. Can I go on a diet without noticing that I'm eating less food? Can I get fit without noticing that I'm having to take exercise? Can we close our borders and not let any foreigners in, except for the skilled, the unskilled, and the students, and a few others? Can we have a new rector that will help us change, as long as the service I go to is done exactly the way it's been done in the past? I came across this quote in the paper last week. It was about Americans. I don't know why it's about Americans, so I've changed it to people, because I think we're all the same. People love change, but they hate to be changed. Some of the things God wants done through the wind of his Spirit can easily be lifted by a gentle breeze that comes through and is comforting and refreshing. But some things need a bit more of a storm. And we all know that a strong enough wind can shift the seemingly immovable. God can do it, and he knows that it can be hard for us to bear. As I said right at the start, new birth can be painful. It can involve things which look to us to be kind of fairly brutal. But we're in good hands if we're with God. Jesus said, a woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come. But when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish because of her joy. There is always good news when God is present at any new birth, and when the wind of change is directed by his Spirit blowing in and through and alongside us and those with whom we share this wonderful journey. Amen.